This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. It's the JR Sport Brief show right here with you on CBS Sports Radio. Happy Monday to you. Hope you had a solid weekend. I hope you had a solid start to your week. What I'm trying to do is help deliver to you a solid 4-hour show. If you didn't know, I'm coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. When you need certainty in the home buying process with a loan that fits your life, Rocket can. Okay, you can find me online at JR Sport Brief. A big shout out to super producer Stu Kovacs for helping to put this show together. And as always, the phone number, 855-212-4CBS. That is 855-212-4CBS. What a wild weekend we've had. Oh, my goodness. I don't even know where to start. Players and baseball and COVID-19 is continuing to spread, this time with the Cardinals. We have football players, college, and in the pros. Folks are not happy. Folks aren't digging the mood and the vibe that which they're trying to bring back college sports. Oh, man, we have broken pitchers across Major League Baseball, the NBA, and the bubble. This is a wild time. You know, Giannis Antetokounmpo and James Harden, they're going out there continuing their beef. And then we even have word from Lamar Jackson about what we can look forward to from him when we finally get football back. It is just 2020 is a year that you're not going to forget. It's going to be a year that everybody's going to just have an automatic recollection about every single thing that has been going on. And at the same time, as we all know, 2020 has been a year of change. And we're only a couple of days into August. And who knows what other changes we're going to have to kind of see before this year comes to a close or concludes. And one of those changes and some of those forced changes even happened as recently as last year. And I'm talking about NCAA football. We have known for years, starting off and even prior to Ed O'Bannon, just college athletes have not made money in college athletics. You know, the money is made off of their backs. The NCAA rakes this money up. They store it all in Indianapolis. And, you know, boss man Mark Emmert, he gets to sit in his fat boy chair. You know, he gets to sit in a fat cat chair. He gets to stash away all of the checks and all of the money. And the commissioners make money. The coaches make money. The schools make money. It is a big business. I mean, let's face it. In a general sense, college, higher education is a big business. So why should college and, you know, higher education athletics, why should it be any different? You know, we can say, oh, well, we've given these student athletes, we've given them an opportunity to go to school. We've given them scholarships. And that's all good and great. I'm not disparaging, you know, higher education. I'm not disparaging colleges and universities. I love learning. I think if you're not learning something every day, you know, you're pretty much going the other direction. You're rotting your brain away. And just the fact that colleges have now, and universities and conferences, they've now gotten into a space where they've been forced over the past year to pay these players or allow these players to go out and actually make some money. Okay, we were supposed to have And, you know, COVID-19 certainly threw a giant monkey wrench on all of that. But we were supposed to have, you know, players in a clear strategy as to these student athletes, how they can go about monetizing their name, image, and likeness. And that's something that's still in the works. Governors across the country were starting to kind of check the box. And the NCAA at this point in time, now they're, in my opinion, they've been running away. The NCAA has been running away from basically all of the governors. And they want, you know, the federal government to go ahead and make an overarching rule and an overarching law as to how these student athletes can get paid. Well, 2020 came through and it basically, you know, swept everything up and said, okay, this is how we're going to do things. Everybody has been forced pretty much to deal with change. Everybody's been forced to adjust here in 2020. And yesterday, we've had approximately 13 to 15 Pac-12 football players. Yesterday, they basically put out an open letter, and they put it out on the Players Tribune yesterday, and they basically are threatening to opt out of this season if the Pac-12 does not meet their set of demands. And I don't have to tell you that conferences all over the country have said, hey, we are going to trudge forward. We are going to move forward the best that we can to go ahead and ensure that we have a college football season. It doesn't matter what's going on with COVID. We've had it naturally. People will test positive. We know that already. You know, go ask Major League Baseball. You know, Rutgers University just had some issue. I mean, once players showed up to get tested about a month ago, we had a rash of players testing positive. And so I have no idea how any type of football is going to happen in a safe way and in a safe environment in about a month or so. Let's really think about that. You know, in a typical sense, a lot of college conferences, they're going to start, or they're supposed to start, they're supposed to start their regular seasons as early as at the end of this month into the beginning of September. I mean, let's actually be realistic about what we can expect from these calendars. But we have coaches like Coach O, you know, out at LSU, who says we absolutely need football. It's the lifeblood of our country. It's necessary. It's needed. But you have these players who use the hashtag We Are United in the Pac-12. They have 4 points. They have 4 points that they are going forward with, and that they are demanding change, that they are demanding be addressed if they are going to play. Okay, health and safety. I think that pretty much speaks for itself. Protect all sports. Utilize some of the money that you have to not necessarily, you know, say, hey, we need to go ahead and get rid of the archery program, you know, for example. End racial injustice in school. Economic freedom and equity. They're demanding that, you know, money be spread around amongst the conference. They're demanding that players can actually monetize what they do out on the field. Because let's really be honest here. It's a job. If you're playing college sports, if you are playing college football, if you're playing college basketball, it's definitely treated as a job. Why should it be treated any different? Why can't the student athletes, quotation, student athletes, why can't they go get a job at the local pizzeria? I mean, let's think about the baseline of it. Forget the elements and aspects of, you know, getting a sponsorship deal. Forget the elements of getting a check to promote your local, you know, grocery store or car dealership. There was a player several years ago who was prohibited from having his own YouTube channel. You know, like so what? He has a YouTube channel. He can't make money. He can't do that either. What makes him any different than the other student at, well, not student athletes, but what makes him different than any other student on campus? This has never been fair. College athletics has not been fair. And in light of the We Are United hashtag, in light of this letter that the Pac-12 football players decided to share publicly on the Players Tribune, Pac-12 Commissioner Larry Scott, he's basically responded, of course, because he has no choice. About Roger Goodell from about 2 months ago, when Roger Goodell was actually pushed up against the wall and forced to say that Black Lives Matter and that we made a mistake, all of a sudden now Roger Goodell speaks out. And Pac-12 Commissioner Larry Scott, he basically sent the letter back at 7 p.m. That was, of course, picked up by the media, if not sent out to the media. And he says, we are eager to hear more about your concerns and very happy to discuss. I'll come back to you in the coming days following a discussion with our members and student athlete leaders to schedule a call to discuss the matters that you have raised. And then the email that he sent went on to document how the Pac-12 has actually, you know, taken care of and addressed some of the 4 points I mentioned of health and safety, protecting all sports, ending racial injustice in school, and also giving out and making sure there is economic freedom and equity in the sport. And I mean, I'm not going to go ahead and read every single thing that Scott points out here. But he talks about the health of the league's athletes is the number one priority. And he goes back and he says, we have made clear that any student athlete who chooses not to return for health or safety reasons will have their scholarship protected and remain in good standing. He talks about multiple initiatives that the Pac-12 has basically put out over the past 12 years. Health and wellness, coverage, former players, scholarships, returning to school if you should leave, requiring mental health services. And then even when it comes to some of the issues of diversity and inclusion, he talks about holding forums, et cetera, et cetera. Now, look, I'm not an investigative reporter. That's not what JR does. I try to look at what the hell is going on and see what makes the most sense and draw an opinion from there. And I can tell you this much. Pretty sure every single thing that Larry Scott said exists. But I can also tell you from the players' perspective, we know, unfortunately, that the players have been treated like cattle. And it's not just the Pac-12. I mean, the reality is that college students, student athletes, do not need to be playing college football this year. It's not necessary. I mean, I know everything is about business. Everything is about money. There are businesses surrounding college athletics that unfortunately have suffered, will suffer, and are likely to potentially go out of business if we don't have college athletics. And that's unfortunate. It's unfortunate that we've had to deal with everything that's happened this year. But when it comes to college students and athletes standing up for what they believe in, I take no issue with that. I think it'd be great if we had more folks who are willing to stand up and question what they feel is not fair. I think it's a great thing that we have people who are exercising their minds and actually going about saying, hey, what's going on is not fair. We should actually address this. I mean, we look at someone, you know, Chuba Hubbard, a couple of weeks ago, he spent the past 2 months speaking about what's on his mind, how he has felt about racial injustice, so much so that at this point in time, he's said, hey, I'm going to chill out on social media just because of the response that I've gotten. Like, everybody loves you when you are a student athlete and you just act like an athlete and you don't utilize the brain part. People don't necessarily want you to speak up. People don't want you to rock the apple cart. And let's be honest, a lot of times and a lot of change, especially here in the United States of America, it has occurred due to protest. It has occurred due to people standing up for their rights. It's occurred when people decide to go ahead and kind of shake things up a little bit. And it's about time for college athletics to be shook up, because for far too long, they've basically had their thumb on anyone who wanted to speak out. And if we want to talk about some of the good, if there is any good, if you want to look on the bright side of what's occurred here in 2020, and that's across the board, is maybe that we, you know, maybe we hit the button. Maybe we hit the fast forward button a little bit on change. Maybe we did. You know, these Pac-12 football players say, we believe a football season under these conditions would be reckless and put us at needless risk. The lack of regard for our health and safety is central to the systemic racial injustices imposed by the NCAA sports that disproportionately exploits Black athletes physically academically and financially. I can't disagree. You know, it's real easy to say, well, we gave you a free education. At what cost? That you come in and you fit into our system? That we can, use you and abuse you? And only if you're good enough, maybe this can be a showcase for you to go ahead and make more money? And even if that, in that case, it's a farce. Why not say, hey, we're just preparing a handful of guys to go out to the NFL? Why not say we're preparing, a couple of guys to be our show ponies so we can make some money? I think it's about time that we've had college football, college basketball pushed to the limits. If that means that we have to see a change in what we watch on Saturday afternoons and what we watch on Thursday and Friday and New Year's Day and at the beginning of the year, if that means what we watch has to change, I'm okay with that if it means it's under better circumstances for the student athletes. It's real simple. College football, college basketball, college athletics has needed to be challenged for years. And I'm not certain that these players are going to get what they want. They ultimately may not play this season if there is football. Hell, I don't know how you have any football in a safe manner or in a safe light. But these players, like I said, they may not get what they want. But I know one thing is for certain. The NCAA in the current structure is falling apart. The NCAA is being forced to look at issues that they have implemented for years just so they can make some money. And the jig is up. It started last year, and the fast forward button is getting hit right now in 2020. So the players, these Pac-12 players, this about 15 players, they may not get what they want, but they will go down in history as being a select group that decided to kind of help push things forward. And now Commissioner Scott, now the NCAA, as much as they want to kind of say, hey, deal with the commissioners, don't deal with us. This has nothing to do with us. As much as all of that exists, time is running out for the NCAA. And good luck and kudos to the athletes. They have my full support because the NCAA, for a long time, calling these young men, calling these young women student athletes, it's been a sham. And the jig is up. I fully support any player who stands up against the establishment of the NCAA. It's about damn time. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. I want to hear from you. It's real simple. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. What do you think about the Pac-12 players who said, we are united, who said, we're not digging what's going on with Pac-12 football. We don't appreciate your safety measures. We don't appreciate having other sports canceled. We don't appreciate not being allowed to make some damn money. What are your thoughts on the player's stance? Is it time for college football? Is it time for all college sports to change? The phone lines are open. I want to hear from you. I'm glad the change is taking place now. 855-212-4CBS. It's the JR Sport Brief Show right here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. We're talking about the letter that the Pac-12 players have basically, sent over to the commissioner. The open letter that they put on the Players Tribune, they've threatened to opt out of this season if the league does not address health and safety. Like, how are we even going to safely play football if they're not going to protect all sports at the school level and at the school, that the schools finance or cut at this point in time, if they don't end racial injustice and if they don't help provide even footing for economic freedom and equity? I've opened up the phone lines here right now, 855-212-4CBS. The line is sponsored by Geico. Right now, Geico's offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. That's on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Visit geico.com to learn more. I'm in favor of anyone who, quote-unquote, wants to punch the NCAA in the mouth. because it's a flawed system. It is a one-sided system. It's extremely clear. It's not just, hey, we're giving you an education. The athletes are treated in some cases better, and then in some cases worse, because they generate revenue separate from the student body. You know what? I'd venture to say, and I don't know this to be fact, but just because I understand and know how the world works, I'd venture to say that there are campuses that are opening back up just so they can attempt to play football and make some damn money. That's just facts. So I'm in full agreement with anything or any player or any student athlete who decides to go forth and kind of try to buck the system and force them to change, as they've already been forced to doing over the past several years. It's unfortunate. 855-212-4CBS. You can also hit me online at JR Sport Brief on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Let's go ahead and let's start off here. We have Jay, who's calling up from Detroit. Jay, you're on CBS Sports Radio, the JR Sport Brief show. What are your thoughts on these gentlemen from the Pac-12?
Yeah, well, first, thanks for having me. It's a nice show. I'm able to listen to it every day, every night at work. But I think it is absolutely ridiculous for a bunch of 18, 19, 20-year-olds to be making mandates on what should and shouldn't happen pretty much about anything. First of all, their parents should be making these decisions on whether they're going to play or not. And one example real quick of why it's so silly to listen to children. You have to listen to them, but to take seriously children. Look at everything they
punch together. Wait, Jay.
Okay, no, and I wasn't just the one point, then hopefully I'll give you another one. But look what those things aren't even really completely tied together. You know, the 4-point list or 5-point list that you gave.
Jay, this is why everything that you're saying after this afterwards to me is kind of moot and lost. You know, the last time I checked, yes, experience is an amazing thing. And, you know, saying that an 18, a 19, a 20-year-old is a child, you know, that's lost to me, you know, because
we just disagree on that. Jay,
you know, let me tell you something. And I my apologies ahead of time for cutting you off. But you just made my point without me even saying anything. You said when I was 20. That's you, Jay. You know, I know some folks, unfortunately, who've had to grow up and be adults before they were 18, 19, and 20. I wouldn't dare even say that someone who is 18, 19, and 20 is a child, because we actually have some 18, 19, and 20-year-olds who have a better scope and understanding and viewpoint on what it means to be a human being and what equality means than we have some hardened 40, 50, and 60-year-olds. So will we call a 40 and 50 and 60-year-old, will we call them a child for some of the ignorant things that come out of their mouth? Will we call them a child for some of the hard stances that they make? So to say that someone who is 18, 19, and 20 is a child and they still need their parents to make decisions for them, that is a huge overarching statement. So, I mean, Jay, if you're going to talk about when you were 20, go ahead and do that. But we have some brilliant, bright, intelligent, thoughtful 18, 19, and 20-year-old young men and women.
You can't be experienced without going through something. At 20,
well, Jay,
at 21, you haven't had to support yourself.
You don't know that. That's that. You know what, Jay?
But you're talking about things that are anomalies.
No,
Jay.
Do me a favor. What is a normal? What is a normal 18-year-old?
A normal 18-year-old is someone that's still going to just getting out of high school, and his responsibilities are studying. He might have a part-time job, or might even have two part-time jobs. Detroit, he might be selling dope on the corner.
What I want to tell you, because everything that you're saying is just, I want to tell you to go outside And I want to tell you to go from sea to shining sea and actually see what's going on in the United States of America, what people are dealing with. That's just facts. You want to tell me what is a normal 18 or 19 or 20 year old? People mature at different spaces. Hey, there's no doubt about that. You know, experience is an awesome teacher. You know, I wish we had some 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 year old folks who actually utilized some of their experiences and were able to draw a solid opinion. And that, unfortunately, you know, Jay's thinking is the reason why we don't have change. It's because people actually want to discount younger people as if they have no voice, as if they have no feelings, as if they have no life experiences. Like you need to be, you know, 30, 40 and 50 to understand racism. You need to be, you know, 50, 60, 70 and 80 to understand when you're being taken advantage of. What elements of that do you what Chuba Hubbard needs to shut up and sit down? I think it's a beautiful thing when we can actually have differing opinions. We can actually listen to younger people and understand the issues. Younger people can sometimes shine a light on things that you do not even understand. I just think it is a terrible mindset to say you are 18, 19, or 20 years old, so you should basically be seen and not heard. I know there are a lot of people who feel that way, and I think that is a short-sighted way. If anything, we should all learn from each other and not close your brain off and discount what someone else has to think or has to say. Because at that point in time, you're missing the point. And I'd hate to be someone who just, closes part of your brain off. That's just mind-boggling to me. 855-212-4CBS. We got a lot of callers on. You've been extremely patient. Tim, Steve, Bryce, Phil, Michael. We got Florida, Arizona, Arkansas, Alabama, and Louisiana. We're going to go ahead and make sure we get everybody on the line. I have to go to break. It's a must right now. We're going to continue this conversation. What are your thoughts on the Pac-12 players who said, listen, we demand some damn change? It's the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. You heard the number 855-212-4CBS. We're talking about the Pac-12 football players who basically aligned, come together and said, we are united. We ain't going to play unless you address health and safety, protection of all sports, not just football and basketball, unless you're going to help end racial injustice in school, and unless you're actually going to go forth and help encourage economic freedom and equity in the sports. I agree. I'm in favor of any student athlete who wants to speak up. The NCAA has just been a system that has not been fair to the student athletes for a long time. And the NCAA is getting its just due. And whether you like it or not, the NCAA is changing. The NCAA is being forced to change. And that's a good thing because it's actually going to be fair to the student athletes. We got a lot of callers on the line. I want to make sure we can get every person on who has an opinion right now. The number one more time is 855-212-4CBS. You can also reach out to me at JR Sport Brief on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. We got Tim from Louisiana. Tim, you're on CBS Sports Radio. What are your thoughts on the stance that these Pac-12 players have made?
I'm a young white male, and I agree. And if I can just speak really quickly to the last privileged caller, my father was not in my life. I had an alcoholic mom. Therefore, my student loans are going crazy with interest rates. And then if you want to look at the demographics of college football, then you want to break down the statistics of divorce rates, and you want to look at the incarceration rates. These aren't just kids. A lot of them are grown men taking care of themselves because they have nobody to take care of themselves or take care of them for them. And then second, if you like, resident assistants get paid, teachers assistants get paid. You see all throughout college different sectors of students working. So if the college athlete is going to provide a service, which in turn brings in revenue, I don't understand why they shouldn't be paid. That's it.
Well, Tim, you said it all right there. And it's a damn shame that they haven't been able to be paid. And it's an even larger issue that they have not been able to make money. Forget getting paid. You know what? To a certain degree, I can understand the NCAA's hesitancy to address the issue because they've been fattening up their own damn pockets and wallets. Okay. And eventually they've had to. And now we see it. They have to address that issue. It's much easier to say, okay, we're going to allow you to make some money. But it's an abomination that the NCAA won't even allow their student athletes to make money. And now we see situations like Reggie Bush, and we see college championship and records get stripped and taken away because a player decided to take on some money, because a player's parent decided to take some money on. NCAA got some damn nerve. We got Steve calling up from Alabama. Steve, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, what's going on, man? I got to agree with your last caller, man. I couldn't agree with you more. And I got to say, it's refreshing to hear. I wasn't going to call in tonight. I usually listen to your show, but I had to call in just because I wanted to tell you that, man. Like, we need people like you, because all the other radio shows that I heard, like when I was in the car earlier today, man, like everybody was saying the opposite. Everyone, and granted, I'm calling up from Alabama. So I guess my question to you was, how much of a percentage do you think that this is monetary, and how much of a percentage do you think that this is racially fueled?
Well, Steve, you know what? And it's not even an elephant in the room. A lot of this is all tied together. It's not even necessarily a separate issue. It might be vaguely tied together from the wide range of kind of looking out. You know, you may see one is on one side. Okay, the money's over here. Okay, the racial issue is over here. And now we have to deal with both issues. But the reality is that they're actually intertwined. I mean, the majority of college, and I'd have to look at the stats, but the majority of college athletes, from the basketball players to the football stars, it's no different than as you get into the NBA and the NFL, the majority of the leagues are 70% in North Black. That's the reality. And it's not a stretch to go ahead and see where you, quote unquote, get your talent from, or the backgrounds and circumstances that they come in at, which is why a lot of what the NCAA does is unfortunately a farce. And what isn't a black, white, yellow, pink, red, purple issue, it's strictly been a green one. And that needs to get opened up, ripped to shreds, and we need to restructure the college football and just the whole NCAA system so it can be fair. It's all tied together, Steve.
Pac-12 is going to succeed in having an imprint on change, and I'm going to hang up and listen.
Well, thank you, Steve. I appreciate you for calling up from Alabama. Look, I don't know if the players are going to get what they want. I don't know if the players are going to acquiesce. I don't know if they're going to give in. We saw what happened with Chuba Hubbard. It took a few hours for him to go, you know what, I apologize. You know, I'm here with the school. We're going to try to work on this together. And there's nothing wrong with that. We need more of that. We need leaders to be held accountable. We need organizations who have been running roughshod and doing whatever they want for years. They need to be held accountable. And anyone who is not in favor of accountability, and not just in college athletics, in life, you know, I hate to be you. Transparency, accountability, you know what that does? That creates fairness. That creates equality for everyone across the board. We got Phil calling up from Arizona. Phil, you're on the JR Sport Brief Show here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Phil?
Hey, JR. Thanks for having me. I think the conversation, it gets a lot deeper when you think about this. And I think you're onto the right side of this, and I think that's the direction it's going. And NILs from the NCAA has to happen, and that's already in the works, and that's great. And that should have happened a long time ago. when you start getting deeper into it, though, and when you look at what the demands are and asking for 50% revenues and this and that, what's going to end up happening is where does the money go? And how does that money get given to these student athletes? And then what do they have to take care of? Do they still get everything that they currently are getting? Because if you look at what is spent on a student athlete right now, on average, a Power 5 D1 student athlete, they, without coaches' salaries intertwined or administration salaries intertwined, you're going to spend somewhere between $90,000 to $100,000 on overall. That includes the tuition and everything. So that money includes what one of your callers called before talked about. Well, grad assistants and RAs, they get paid. Well, student athletes get actually a very similar stipend that RAs get. They make close to $1,800 to $2,000. There's an equation across the country that every student athlete receives. So they do get cash each month. Now, is that the money they're asking for? No, they're asking for a lot more. They want a bigger piece of the pie, which is you cannot totally understand. But what does and is lost out there, and I'm playing both sides here because I believe that there are changes in the works and it should be. But what no one knows is how much a student athlete is taken care of and what they're given. And I'll tell you this. There is no life better lived over a 4-year period. And when you talk about safe and healthy right now, the amount of protocols going in to take care of student athletes during this time, none of us are getting the testing and the medicine
of. You know, Phil, I understand and can agree partially with everything you said up until, you know, that last point. That's irrelevant. You know, I mean, we can get into a space where we can compare, you know, a first responder, a doctor. We can go on down the line. Hell, we have teachers across the United States of America, some who may not necessarily be comfortable going back to work. So what I don't want to do is compare apples to oranges. But I understand your initial point, and I can agree with it to a certain point. Look, these students aren't going to get everything that they have asked for. Do I think they're going to get a 50-50 split of the pie? Hell to the no. But I can also sit and debate about what they contribute and then what we want to consider payment or what we want to consider as value, because ultimately the value still is different than things that folks get across the country. It's a simple equation. And you don't have to be an economist. You don't have to go to school. You don't have to study. It's real simple. I perform service. I get paid. What is that value? You know, are we making, you know, are we in a sweatshop? Am I selling, you know, a shoe for $200 that cost me, you know, a dollar to make? You know, that's not fair. We know it's not fair. And I think when we talk about the value add, and thank you, Phil, from Arizona, we got a lot of folks. When we talk about the value add for a student athlete, come on, is it equal? I mean, I can ask Richard Sherman, who's been vocal about this, and I've actually spoken to Richard Sherman. I've actually spoken to his brother, Branson. I have spoken to them about what the college system does, what it doesn't do, how silly it is to actually say, oh, well, you get a scholarship. Okay, that works, but it's not a one-size-fits-all. It's not fair to everybody. And let's be real, life is not fair. That's the unfortunate reality of it. But what we shouldn't have is fairness kind of being waved in everybody's face as if it's just. It's not. We got Mike who's calling up from Florida. Mike, you're on CBS Sports Radio, the JR Sport Brief Show.
Hey, good evening. Thank you for taking my call. It's a topic that first and foremost, has been talked about for many, many years, right? We all knew this was coming, 10, 15 years ago, maybe even a little bit longer. When you start, you know, in today's environment with social media and all that. But the reason why I bring up social media is simple. If a player can make money, you know, legal, in the legal way, social media, whatever they want to do outside of the season, whatever they want to do, right? They want to work at Pizza Hut, or they want to work at Little Caesars, whatever they want to do, man. They want to work at a law firm, let them do it. That has nothing to do, you know, with the NCAA. Whether it's big boosters that are giving the opportunity to work, hey, it is what it is. You know, we all know that happens in college, in all sports of college. You know, we all know that. That's not the elephant in the room. Everybody knows that. But at the end of the day, right, think about this, man. If you allow these kids to work and do the whole thing, and put maybe like a bonus, you know, if you win your conference championship, you get X amount of dollars. Split it up between the team, right? And if you win the championship or the bowl game that you win, hey, you know what? Especially in today's, you know, day and age where betting is so easy now, gambling, you know, make it worthwhile for a team to go out there and actually want to win something.
Yeah.
Not just like a player that, you know, a damn good player is going to go into the NFL. You know, how many,
sure.
really, how many first-round picks are there? You know what I'm trying to tell you? How many second-round picks are there? You know, that's not that many, man. So what I'm trying to say is very simple. And there's another thing I want to bring up here before I hang up and listen to your show. Please, I don't want to take over. It's your show.
Mike, it's not even necessarily that it's my show. It's at this point in time, we are up against a break. Make your point in 15 seconds. I want to make sure you get it out.
So simple, man. The second thing, if you want to keep everybody safe, start doing this. Keep everybody under medical watch, okay? Let's just say you get a building, you get a hotel room. Get all your players. Everybody's going to get contaminated, coaches, medical staff. In 1 to 2 weeks, these are the best health athletes.
Okay.
They're ready to go. They don't catch us again.
Right.
See you
okay.
at the beach.
All right. Well, thank you, Mike. Appreciate you for calling up from Florida. Mike is basically advocating that college sports takes place in a bubble. We know that ain't happening. You can throw that out the window. It's a wild world. It's a wild space. But I'm glad that the NCAA is being forced to change. The phone lines are still rolling. If you are on the line, if you're calling up, I will make sure that you get on when we come back from break. It's real simple. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. What are your thoughts on these Pac-12 players standing up for what they believe in? What are your thoughts on the NCAA and how they've been handling the money? You're listening to the JR Sport Brief Show right here on CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.